Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Have you ever heard the expression, a picture is worth a thousand words? Well, when it comes to the Word of God, the opposite is true. One word is worth a thousand pictures, because this word is inspired. Today, from the Word of God, we're going to look at a picture of paradise. A picture painted for us by inspiration. Pictures can be very pretty, or they can be ugly. In Luke 16, we have two pictures, really, painted for us by the Word of God. In the account of the rich man and Lazarus, a picture of paradise and a picture of punishment or perdition. Today we're going to look at a very pretty picture, a very pleasant picture, a picture of paradise. That's the title of our study today, A Picture of Paradise. A picture painted for us by our Lord Jesus Christ as He gave the account of two very different people, a rich man and a poor beggar named Lazarus, a beggar who lived a faithful life before God. This account is found in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke 16, 19 through 31. And in this account, as we said, we have two pictures. A very different picture of one man who lived his life faithfully to God than the picture of the other man who did not live faithfully to God. Now, in our next study together, after our lesson today, we're going to look at that picture of punishment or perdition, the picture of that rich man, a tragic picture indeed, not a very pretty picture. But today's study involves a picture in which we should all want to see ourselves, place ourselves in this picture, the picture of paradise. By way of introduction to our study, we need to understand what the Bible teaches about what happens to the spirit of man after death. There is the realm called Hades, or the Hadean realm. Jesus spoke of it when He talked about building His church in Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, as the American Standard renders that. The word Hades there is the proper translation, which means the realm of departed spirits. Now, what Jesus was saying there is simply this. I'm going to build my church upon the confession that Peter had just made in the previous verses, as recorded there, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to build my church upon that foundation, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He added, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gates of Hades will not stop me from building my church. What did He mean? He simply meant that while He would be crucified and while He would die, His spirit, yes, would go into the Hadean realm. But the gates of Hades, a figurative expression as it's used there, would not hold His spirit. He would come forth to be reunited with His body, raised from the dead, to establish His kingdom or His church. And so Jesus spoke there in Matthew 16:18 of the general realm of departed spirits, that is, the Hadean realm. Now, as He hung upon Calvary, in a conversation with a penitent thief, the thief, one of the thieves on the cross, in that conversation with him, He made the statement to that thief. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Notice it there in Luke 23:43. He said, today, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now there, Jesus specifically used paradise rather than Hades, because paradise, as taught in Scripture, is one area of the general area of Hades. There are two specific compartments or areas, if you will, of the Hadean realm. Hades is the general term describing the place of departed spirits after death where they await the final judgment. But within the Hadean realm, we have paradise, where Jesus said to the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And we have the area where the unrighteous spirits await the final judgment, that is Tartarus, as it is referred to in Scripture, or the place of punishment where the wicked spirits await the final judgment. And we'll look more at that area of Hades when we talk next time about the picture of perdition or punishment as it involves the rich man. But we need to understand and appreciate that this is the realm, the Hadean realm, in which there are two areas, paradise, where the righteous spirits await the final judgment, and Tartarus, the place of the unrighteous spirits, where they are in punishment even now, awaiting the final judgment, where they will hear the final words of Jesus that will seal their condemnation. You know, it may be that in the realm of Tartarus, where the wicked spirits await the final judgment, that they perhaps even now hold out some hope that this will not be an eternal punishment. But when the judgment comes, not only will they hear that this is a final judgment that will be upon them, that is the judgment of eternal punishment, but they will also see fully and completely the justification for that punishment as they stand before God and Christ in judgment, as all men will be able to see. And so, yes, there will be a purpose for that final judgment, purposes, and God always has a purpose. But the point is that immediately after death, our spirits will go into one of two areas. That is a place of pleasure, a pleasurable picture of paradise, as we're about to study it, or that awful perditious punishment, that place of perdition, where the evil spirits await the final judgment. Today, though, we look at the picture of paradise as we look at the study of this poor beggar who was really rich, rich spiritually. Verse 19 begins, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." This is verse 22 now. "And the rich man also died and was buried." Now, we stop there at verse 22. In verse 22, we see that the rich man died, as did the beggar. The rich man died, and it says he was buried. But the account does not end there, as we'll see next time when we study this picture from the side of punishment. But we're looking at now the picture of paradise. What is it that ought to give us incentive to live our lives in such a way as to be in this picture of paradise, where Lazarus finds himself even today? Well, one thing is that there is an angelic escort that awaits the righteous spirits at death. Listen again to the words of verse 22. "It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Abraham's bosom there is simply an expression to denote the comfort and the security, the safety of being in the bosom of Abraham as this man Lazarus lived and died under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And Abraham's bosom would be synonymous with the peace and security of paradise. We sometimes sing the hymn, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." And that's what is suggested here by this phrase, "the bosom of Abraham," or Abraham's bosom. Safety and security and peace in paradise. What is it that this world fears more than anything else in life? I suggest to you that it's death. Yes, death. Most people don't like to talk about it or think about it, but it is something that is absolutely certain. Death is coming. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. But for the righteous, those who are living their lives righteously before God, that fear of death has been removed. It's been removed by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Here the writer declares, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," now there we are, the children, human beings, "he," this is Christ, "he also himself likewise took part of the same," that is, he became flesh and blood, Notice that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now notice, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What is the writer saying here? He's telling us that just as you and I are partakers of flesh and blood, that is, we're human beings, Jesus Christ humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant, the form of humanity. He became flesh and blood, that through his death on the cross, he might destroy the one who had the power over death at that time, that is Satan, and deliver us, all of us, who all of our lifetime were subject to bondage because of that fear of death. But you see, the point is, through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that fear of death has been removed. Yes, for the child of God, the fear of death has been removed. Anxiety has been replaced by anticipation. Or has it? Well, it certainly should have been if indeed we are children of God, if we are Christians. Now, this man Lazarus did not live in the Christian dispensation. He lived and died under the law of Moses, but the principle is the same. He lived in such a way, that is, before God under the covenant to which he was subject, to be able to anticipate the heavenly escort, the angelic escort, into the bosom of Abraham, into the peace of paradise. And this teaching of our Lord in Luke 16 assures us that if indeed we are faithful unto death as Christians now living under the law of Christ, our destiny is the same. Our destination is the same. It is paradise. And the angelic escort is certainly literal, it seems here, doesn't it? What is there to fear then in death about an angelic escort into the paradise of God? The answer is nothing. Nothing to fear. And so we as Christians, if we are Christians, may take comfort, solace, in the fact that all that awaits us at death is not some mystery, some unknown journey, but the angelic escort, the angels of God, accompanying us, escorting us, if you will, into the paradise of God, there with the righteous of all the ages to await the final judgment. What a beautiful thought. What a comforting thought that is. Ah, but the word comfort brings up another incentive for us to live our lives in such a way as to enjoy what Lazarus the beggar enjoys even now. And that is comfort. Look at Luke 16, verse 25. But Abraham said, now here's in response to the rich man who wanted Lazarus to come dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now, as we said, in hell or in Tartarus here, in torment, this rich man lifted up his eyes, verse 23 tells us, and saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus there, and he wanted Abraham to give permission to Lazarus to come dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. He said, for I'm tormented in this flame. And then the response, as we've just seen it, Abraham said, son, remember. Oh yes, memory will be a haunting thing in punishment, won't it? Eternal punishment. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now he is comforted. Comfort. There's another picture, a part of the picture of paradise that we need to appreciate fully. It is a picture of comfort. Are we creatures of comfort? Oh, certainly we are. God created us, and God holds out to us as an incentive to live our lives in accordance with his will, the comfort of paradise and the ultimate comfort of heaven itself. It's a comfort beyond comprehension, really. But it is a comfort that we need to seek regularly to comprehend, because it can truly motivate us to live our lives in such a way as to one day know and to appreciate and experience fully that comfort. The comfort of paradise. You know, advertisers realize that we're creatures of comfort, don't they? And so When automobile manufacturers advertise their products to us, they don't tell us that if we'll buy their automobile, we'll have the roughest ride of our lives. In fact, the car will just bounce us all over the road. We don't see that kind of advertising, do we? If a mattress manufacturer holds out to us an incentive for buying a mattress, he doesn't tell us, buy this mattress and you'll never get another good night's sleep as long as you live. It's as lumpy as it can be. No, no. He holds out to us comfort. He holds out to us comfort. But it cannot compare to the comfort of paradise. And can you imagine how Lazarus must have appreciated that comfort? How he appreciated the comfort compared to the suffering that he had endured in his lifetime? Can you imagine it? Think about his situation. He was laid at the gate of this rich man day in and day out. His body full of sores. He was begging for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores. Oh, his suffering prepared him in a sense, didn't it? It prepared him to fully appreciate the contrasting comfort of paradise. And this man, Lazarus, was faithful despite those circumstances. Despite that suffering, he was faithful to his God. He obviously did not blame God for his circumstances, but he was able to see beyond the present. We can learn a great lesson from Lazarus in that sense, can't we? He recognized that while poor in terms of this world's goods, he had a riches that the rich man could never completely appreciate, tragically for him. And so he was able to look forward to the comfort of paradise. And now he enjoys that comfort, a comfort beyond compare. But it's a comfort that awaits all of us who will live our lives in accordance with the New Testament, the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of the comfort of paradise. The comfort that is held out to us in God's Word about this place where the righteous spirits will await the final judgment. And think of the comfort of heaven. Think of the joys there, the incomparable, indescribable joys of heaven itself. It ought to provide us with more than enough incentive to suffer, if need be, as Lazarus suffered, and to be made better rather than bitter by those circumstances, however adverse they may be. Well, there's a final point we want to see about this picture of paradise, and that's seen in the next verse, verse 26 of Luke 16. Abraham went on to remind the rich man, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Where is there an incentive for paradise there in those words? Well, there's an incentive there in the fact that there will be a great gulf fixed between the righteous and the unrighteous when this life ends. And sin will never trouble us again. Temptation will never be able to overcome us again. Because there will be forevermore that gulf that is fixed between the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, to the Christian, to the one who's striving to live his life in accordance with the will of God, that is comforting because sin does trouble us. It grieves us. We can read in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 about Lot, who vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds of those people living in Sodom there in Gomorrah. Yes, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Sin grieved this man. And sin ought to grieve righteous people everywhere. As we look around us and see the sin that characterizes our nation and our world, tragically, it grieves us. But one day we'll be separated from that sin forevermore. It will never be able to overcome us. If we'll live in a way to overcome this world by our faith, our obedient faith in God and Christ, then there will be that great gulf fixed between the righteous and the unrighteous. And sin will never trouble us again. Oh, yes, there is a picture here in Luke 16, in 19 through 31 in those verses. A picture of paradise as we look at this account from Jesus from the perspective of Lazarus. Perhaps it's a perspective that's not often studied, but it's one that needs to be studied because there are many lessons that can be learned from Lazarus. Generally speaking, when we study these verses, we look at the rich man. And we'll do that next time because there is a picture of perdition there, punishment. A sobering picture that needs to be understood. It is a reality. But it's also a picture that we don't have to be in because God, in His mercy and His love, has made possible through His Son, Jesus Christ, the salvation of our souls and the ultimate salvation in paradise and ultimately heaven, so that it is totally unnecessary for us to ever have to find ourselves in that picture that we'll study next time, that picture of eternal punishment. But we can be in the picture we've studied today, the picture of paradise, where Lazarus finds himself comforted, separated from sin and suffering forevermore. But one thing is sure, we are going to be in one of these two pictures.